or competitor without reference to whether it's elevators or whatever the case may be. I'm talking largely simply about a process here. Absent three competitors that are bidding so that a decision could be made is problematic. And I don't see how it would be problematic that we solicit that staff, that is the CEO and his designated entity, be instructed to bring back that kind of information for the board's consideration and for senior management's consideration as it relates to the spirit and or intent of creating a competitive environment rather than a non-competitive environment. That would be the recommendation, the request, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
In your previous motion as it relates to the audit committee and then also the expedited piece, that should be brought, information should be in hand prior to any committee action on an item.
And I'm thinking that given the size of this one, I mean, the other ones are often a million, and that's a lot, frankly. But given this, I think it would be useful for a drill down on this particular case that would be instructive to everyone.
Okay.
That's essentially what I'm suggesting.
I just want to amplify that based on the size of this contract and with only one competitor, we've heard the rationale from the survey in terms of why people didn't bid. It still suggests to me that if we only have one way or the other, we are paying for the risk. I think the contract could have been restructured. In hindsight, there's got to be a better way to draw more bidders in. Maybe the risk has changed in terms of how the procurement's done. Maybe it's broken apart and other pieces, but we should be getting more competition, which would drive the price down. So there's something wrong with how the risk was structured in this contract to only get one bidder when there's so many large firms capable of doing this work.
We have a motion and a second before us to approve this. Did you make a substitute motion not to award or delay the action?
I did not, Mr. Chair. I would simply request that senior management take an opportunity to look specifically at this and provide the board with information that would create a scenario where more competition would have been in place in this instance rather than coming back with a single bid to recommend.
Yes, Mr. Lane.
Mr. Chair, does that mean that the board would approve this recommendation and we'd come back then with, if you will, the postmortem on what happened and how we do better next time?
It essentially means that, Mr. Chair, I think that would be very helpful to us. I would stipulate at this point, I'm not inclined to vote for this item, but I do think we all can benefit from a better look at this.
Okay. Yes, Mr. Chair.
There are about three or four major firms. Ask them specifically why they did not submit proposals. Was it a decision based upon the RFP, or was it a managerial decision because they were involved with other activities? But ask them specifically why they didn't submit a proposal.
And what would have made them more inclined to do so, whoever they are?
Will do.
Okay. And there's still a motion before us. As amended by Director Reilly-Thomas to drill down on this particular one, but to move forward with the contract.
Who's going to do the review?
They should submit that to the staff. To see and have that presented to the board.
But who's going to do it?
Staff would take the lead on it, and we'll
Conceivably, or is there not another entity that's retained to provide expert oversight on this? Excuse me for a moment, please. Is there not an entity that's on retainer that helps with respect to this area in particular?
We can certainly do it.
Mr. Yaroslavsky is raising an inspector general scenario. If there's resident expertise that has been retained that has some degree of independence, I do not think it should be those who are responsible for the procurement process.
We'll ensure an independent review. We'll advise the board of the day when such a discussion might occur, and if the board chooses to send observers to monitor the interaction, we would welcome that.
And Mr. Chair, a separation of the items is appropriate from my point of view. So it's not a substitute motion, nor is it an amendment.
Okay. Well, we'll vote on.
Yeah.
What do you want to bifurcate?
The latter part. In other words, I'm not prepared to vote for the main motion.
The contract then is before us. It's been moved and seconded. Then cast your vote.
Squares.
Voting now.
Okay, the item passes. Then the next item is the independent review of this particular of the contract itself as an example of what we're asking the audit committee to come back. Is that correct? Yes.
Yes.
Go ahead. So then the item's been is there a second to reconsideration?
Okay. Clear.
All right, so we load up again, we'll vote, revote.
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry. Well, since it's being reconsidered, I think maybe I want to reconsider my vote too. What is the the time sensitivity of this?
That issue was raised in committee.
Yes, the contract is currently extended through February, and we do not have any additional board-authorized funds to extend beyond that time.
End of February or end of start?
End of through, it's through February, so through the end of February.
Is that with this company? Same
That's
company?
With this company, yes.
Same company that has the current contract that would that is being awarded this new
yes.
contract? Is there a way to extend on a month-to-month or for a three-month period so we don't have an interruption of service while this is looked into?
Yes, we've had some discussions with them, and I believe that we can negotiate a month-to-month until the board is satisfied.
What was the response in committee to the same question?
The response in committee was that the contractor...
The very same question.
The contractor would likely request additional funds, and because they currently have... their union labor rates have increased, and we would pay more during that period.
Pay more than what?
Than what we currently are paying.
But not more than what the contract that we're awarding here.
I don't believe so. But however.
So the response wasn't that a month to month extension would be workable.
A month-to-month extension.
Today.
A month-to-month extension.
And it will be now. So I mean,
so can I just focus in on the issue of it's going to be more than we're currently paying, but the new contract is also more than we're currently paying. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Would the new contract and the month-to-month be approximately the same?
I would suspect it would. However, because we are now talking about a shorter duration, and that would open up the negotiation. Currently, we have a specific amount per month for maintenance, and I would suspect that they would be close. But by opening up the negotiations, we would have to risk that.
And what happens if we don't approve the contract and we don't approve anything? What happens at the end of February?
We would not have any services
Fingency
to support
plan.
this very important...
We'll be putting our pedometers to good use.
Hang on a second. I wasn't at the committee. This is all new to me, okay? What you must have a contingency plan. What would you do? Mr. Chairman, could we ask the audience either to keep quiet or leave?
Okay. Answer the question.
We would not be able to continue a very important service. It was not our expectation that we would have this kind of problem, and we certainly would expect that we would receive some additional funding for an extension of the contract. We believe that we would receive a fair and reasonable price for whatever month-to-month service. We believe that the contractor, the current contractor, is both willing and able to provide the services on a month-to-month basis. Of course, they would, as we would, prefer to have this current contract approved.
Yeah. Is this for elevator maintenance exclusively?
Elevator and escalator.
An escalator? Escalator has been a problem around here as long as I've been here. I mean, the contracting. I mean, it's the one thing that the Soviet Union did better than we did. They have great escalators in their subway system, and they always work. They're ugly, but they work. Well, I just don't want us to be leveraged. My inclination is to negotiate a month-to-month, say for 3 months, and at a price no higher on a monthly basis than the contract that they have, this $44 million contract that you proposed to award today, and that. And that if they don't agree to something within those parameters, that you come back with an alternative. And that means you may have to pick up the phone before the independent investigator does and talk to some of these other companies and see what kind of a deal you can make. Because otherwise, you're going to get jacked around. Anyway, I'll make that motion.
Second.
3 month extension on a month to month at the price no higher than the monthly.
And at the end of the night, at the end of the 3 month extension, what happens? What do you expect back?
This meeting all over again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're going to have a report from your independent people. Yeah. If it's sooner than that, bring it back sooner than that. If you do it in 30 days, to bring it back next month, whenever. I mean, what do you think the time it would take to do this report? I'm going to pick 3 months out of my hat.
I think we would aim at trying to get back, given the nature of this discussion, we'll try to get back in March. If not, we'll do it in April within the 90-day period. At that time, based upon whatever the outcome of the review is, we would come back with a series of options. One is to let the contract as recommended. Another is to approve another procurement with probably another 6 or 8 month extension of the contract during that re-procurement. I guess a third option, as I sit here and think about it, would be to try to do this work in-house. Yep. Unlikely that staff would recommend that.
Do the maintenance work in-house? Yeah, I wouldn't recommend it.
So, I'm prejudging the outcome of what the review would be. And again, we'll offer to have the board to have a chance to interact with the review.
All right. We have that substitute motion before us. And Director DuBois?
It seems to me that in reading the report, if you look at the requirements, you understand why everybody doesn't want to do it. We're asking the company to take on a tremendous amount of liability. We're asking them to work around the clock. We still have problems with vandalism and abuse. It's a tremendously restrictive, if you will, contract, because there are so many requirements that ask them to take a tremendous amount of responsibility and ownership, and I would suggest that that's probably why the cost is so high, and it may come back with that. I would seriously not want to do this in-house. I think it requires expertise that we don't have.
Mr. Chair, I'm told that, and this is only oral history as far as I know, so somebody may want to correct me. I am told that in years past, we had a very serious maintenance problem with recurring failures of escalators and elevators, elevator failures triggering sometimes a ADA violation, and that at that time, some 5 years ago, maybe some other time, 6 years ago, the board mandated a series of actions that would ensure a high level of performance, and that led to the series of restrictions which we now confront, which may impact the population of proposers.
That could be part of the report back then.
Yes, it would. In the event of a re-procurement, we would offer the board a chance to amend the board policy on this issue.
Thank you. Okay, the substitute motion then is to put this contract on a month-to-month basis for 90 days, and the sooner the better for the staff, an independent investigation to return back to this board with, you know, not necessarily recommendation, but just, you know, what happened, or, you know, because a survey could be very legitimate. Uh-huh. And I've seen that in the past with county contracts, that, you know, people don't realize the size and the scope of what has to be done and the whole liability and risk that we're asking them to take on. So with that, yes, Mr. Fasano.
I think that also raises the issue, though, about whether everything should be in one master contract or whether there are ways that this be separated by line, by region, elevators versus escalators, that type of thing. I think some of that needs to also be in the report. And maybe this is still the way we go, but I think maybe the contract's too large.
Well, you know, and then the other opportunity on the other side of that is it may wind up even larger because having two different companies riding an elevator and escalator right next to each other could cause a problem, too. So, well, but that'll come back.
Yeah.
Mr. Katz.
I was just going to say, I think one of the things we don't want to do, though, is send the wrong message. And I think Councilwoman Du Bois brought up an excellent point. Those other six may have dropped off because of what we're asking. I mean, in this contract, they take liability, not us. I mean, there's a number of provisions in here that I think were well negotiated and should be in all our contracts, frankly. And I'm concerned that if we don't pass this contract, the others will see it as a window and maybe saying, well, maybe we can get some of that stuff loosened. We shouldn't be loosening this contract.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the whole thing. I mean, if you look at the survey results in the board paper, that's the real issue, is the risk that we're asking them to take, which we should ask them to take.
And I'm also, you know, I was yours for 3 months, month to month, or 3 month extension in block?
Up to.
Up to 3 months.
Because I'm concerned, I mean, just from a process, if they say no to the month-to-month and they're out of here in February.
But he indicated they were willing. They had that discussion.
Yeah. We've had that discussion. They are willing to go month-to-month.
Based on the committee's concerns, they have had that discussion and they've expressed
it. I still think we ought to do this contract. I think, I mean, it's a, here's sort of the, it's one of the better contracts that's been negotiated around here, I think, and one of the tighter contracts. And it shouldn't be delayed or put off.
Okay.
Well, then write a prescription for sole source and get it over with. Come on, Richard.
It wasn't sole sourced.
It wasn't sole sourced.
Well, for all intents and purposes, it is. If you have one bidder, no one else is in the mix.
Well,
and I don't want to re-debate it.
Okay, I'm going to say, I mean, that's not the issue. That's, you know, if the survey. But anyway, we're going to find that out specifically. And without objection, so ordered. All right. Item 24.
Mr. Chair, I want to make a few prefatory comments on this. For some period of time, we have been pursuing what I will call an unconventional procurement for new light rail vehicles. Unconventional in that we have sought approval for a local preference from the car manufacturer. That is possibly a local preference that would create jobs, maybe a factory. We've also sought to be able to apply California air quality requirements to foreign plants, as well as to increase domestic content and DBE participation. Today, we do not have a formal response from the FTA, and therefore are recommending to the board that you approve a parallel process, one in which we would continue our current path, but at the same time supplement that with a conventional approach, so that in the event we are unsuccessful with the federals, we'd be able to make an award on a conventional approach. Lonnie, please feel free to amplify any point I may have missed.
I think you've adequately covered it.
Say the lack
yes.
of a response is a response.
Yeah.
You know,
the lack of a response
is a response.
Yeah.
I'll move the recommendation in item 24.
Okay. We have. I'll second, but we have yes.
Yeah.
We have a number.
I'd like to suggest that that we, if we don't have, and I agree that a lack of response is a response, but as long as it's not. As long as there's not a deadline that we're putting on ourselves on this, there's this ambiguity that hangs over this whole thing, and it's been going on now for 2 years or more. And frankly, at this stage of the game, I'm not sure, even if we awarded a contract today, that we'd end up getting the requisite number of cars to operate the systems that we're going to have hopefully operating by the time these cars come online, 2014, 2015, whatever the opening days of some of these systems are going to be. So I want to amend this to say that if we do not hear from the FTA, this may not be the most elegant amendment, but I'll just, you'll understand what I'm saying.
Can you say something?
Elegant.
Oh, elegant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Eloquent is even worse. That if we don't hear from the FTA by May 31st, that we go with the alternative, whatever you call the alternative that does, what is it? Convention? Conventional? The conventional approach. Okay, that's my motion.
Second.
Don't have to come back to the board, you just do it. And we knock this business off once and for all, because we're running a big risk here that we're not going to be able to operate. And the worst thing is that maybe most of us aren't going to be around when that happens, but somebody's going to be around. And the worst thing that could happen is to open a line and you can't run it, have a complete line and not be able to put the cars on it. And that's where we're headed right now.
All right. We have some public testimony. John Choi, followed by Kevin Norton, followed by Shamar Bibbins.
Good morning. My name is John Chuen. I'm representing the LA County Federation of Labor. It's the hope of the LA County Fed to work with this board and the agency staff to ensure that the local sales tax revenue generated by Measure R is reinvested back into the local economy to help create good jobs for the working families of LA County. When voters passed Measure R, they were voting to decrease traffic congestion and were voting to decrease greenhouse gases. But most importantly, the working families of Los Angeles were voting to create good jobs. Inclusion of language that incentivizes the creation of good local jobs, both local construction jobs, but also local manufacturing jobs, is critical to this RFP. The LA County Fed urges this board to continue to engage the FTA on this issue and pledges to support putting local folks back to work. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Kevin Norton. I represent IBW Local 11. We have a tremendous opportunity here to put local people back to work, leveraging the money you're going to spend anyway. We already had one rail company that I won't utter their name in public agree to put a facility here and hire local people. And if we could get someone else to do that, you might have a couple hundred jobs here that you wouldn't have otherwise. And you might even have more because the California Rail Authority creates even more opportunities. Then you have all the parts makers. It's a real opportunity. I live down the street in a factory building that was closed that used to have hundreds of people in it. I live in a loft downtown, and there used to be hundreds of people there. And across the street, hundreds of people work there, and now they're all empty. And we need to bring jobs back here, and we need to be smarter about how we spend every penny that we got in Measure R and put the taxpayers who are paying for Measure R back to work so you'll be funded fully. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Shamar Bibbins. I'm from Green for All. Green for All is a national organization working to build an inclusive green economy strong enough to lift people out of poverty. We work in numerous communities across the country, advising them on how to leverage public investment. Los Angeles is unique and different from other cities in that we're blessed to have voters who had the foresight to invest in the city by approving Measure R. Let us deliver on our promise of the voters and maximize job creation potential with the taxpayers, hard-earned money. Implementing local jobs incentive criteria in RFP 3010 is a great first step to realize this promise. Thank you very much for your time.
Tiala.
Carolina.
Good morning. My name is Graciela Geyer, and I'm the lead organizer of SCOPE, which is also a convener of the Los Angeles Apollo Alliance, a coalition of 24 community, environmental, and labor union organizations united behind a vision for a cleaner, healthier, more just, and prosperous local economy. Founded in 1993, community leaders in South LA came together to build a grassroots membership organization that empowers residents to create economic opportunities in our community. Many of our leaders can tell you South LA was once a beacon of opportunity with good blue-collar union manufacturing jobs where workers could support their families and afford to buy a home. Combined with a world-class public education system, the promise of economic opportunity drew many of our families here. Since then, we have seen 30 years of disinvestment in South LA and the offshoring of those jobs with no economic development to replace it. Back in 2006, before the economy tanked, we launched our Green Jobs campaign to shape the emerging new industry with the potential to give our families a clear path out of poverty while improving public health. So we're here basically, I'm here basically on behalf of our hundreds of members and thousands of supporters that in a fall survey of 2008.
Thank you.
Sorry, thank you.
You can submit that for the record.
All right. If
you like. Carolina, and then Arnold Sachs, and then John Walsh.
Good morning. I'm Carolina Briones, representing LANE, LA Alliance for New Economy. I don't think I have to remind anyone that we are facing the worst economic crisis in generations and that the Great Recession has hit LA much harder than the rest of the nation. And at a time when few jobs are being created in the private sector, it's more important than ever that our public investments create good quality jobs here in LA and lead to economic growth. LA County residents approved Measure R with the implicit understanding that this sales tax increase would contribute to job creation in our regional economy. We really appreciate the MTA staff's efforts around local jobs, and we would like to be supportive of Metro and its light rail procurement. We want to let you know that LANE will be working with Ron Blum, Obama's newly appointed advisor on manufacturing, and the FTA around rail car manufacturing in Los Angeles. And we think it's so important to get the rail car companies to work with LA organizations to create a local jobs program, workforce development, and an outreach plan, because this is essential to the success of this RFP and to economic recovery in our local communities. So we would support the action to create two RFPs, and we would also be very concerned about imposing any kind of deadline. We recognize that getting the rail cars done is highly important. It's also extremely important to create good local jobs here in LA. Thank you.
Thank you again, Arnold Sachs. You know, when you were discussing the rail cars previously, Osvaldo Barreda, and the problems that were caused, I think I mentioned that there's a light rail system in Portland. I believe there's a light rail system in Seattle someplace. There's a light rail system in San Diego. There's a light rail system in Utah. And my question was, why are those systems able to procure rail cars for their usage, and LA has such a difficult problem procuring rail cars for its system? What about working together with those systems, find out how they meet the FTA requirements, and I believe that's the Federal Transportation Authority requirements, find out how they're able to overcome these problems and stop pussyfooting around with these stupid excuses?
Qualification, thank you. Mr. Walsh.
John Walsh at HollywoodHighlands.org. I'd like Mr. Weichel of the LA Times to know that he told a different story. Leahy, at the meeting, and it's on the tape, last week, he said he had a conversation with FTA Administrator Peter Rugoff, and he said definitely no local preference. Leahy then had a meeting, a phone conversation with the general counsel of FTA, no local preference. Now he says we don't know. It's on the tape. If I'm a liar, check the tape out. Telling you, Ansaldo Breda was a pipe dream of the mayor. He disappears. You want to see? I'm like a magician. I come up here, the mayor disappears. You want to build 12? And listen, Zeb said it. 3010 is to build 12 systems, and you don't have the cars. You don't have a contract. You don't have a schedule. You're going to build it like the bullet train. Just build a damn darn track.
Very much. Thank you. Just, you don't have to yell. We can hear you all the time, you know. So, item 24 is before us. Moved by Director Katz. Chair will second without objection. So ordered. As amended, excuse me, by Supervisor Yaroslavsky on item 24. Without objection. So ordered. Item 25, we took care of already. Item 26.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Hamparian is stuck in a snowstorm in Washington, D.C. Therefore, I'll just cover the recommendation on this item. As the board recalls, around 6 months ago, they approved an award of a six-month contract to the firm of Manat, Phelps & Phillips to expire on January 31. We are now approaching that deadline. The contract provides for several six-month options, which the board might choose to exercise. The recommendation from the staff, based on the past several months of experience, is that we do not recommend that the option be exercised. We believe that the firm is, of course, very professional, very experienced, they have a great deal of esteem locally, but we believe that we're more wise to proceed on a different path at this time. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Director DuBois and then Director Antonovich.
Yeah, I have some questions. I heard today that they hadn't performed. We've had this contract for 6 months. We should have heard sooner if there was a performance issue. There's an issue about the cost. We knew the cost when the contract was executed. We gave them an assignment, and to the best of my knowledge, until today, they got us on the New Starts track.
It had nothing to do with that.
Well, I was just told they had nothing to do with that, but I wasn't told that before today, and it seems to me we should have been given some kind of a clue. I question whether the timing is right with all the new folks in Congress. So having said that, you can respond or not. Those are the issues that I'm looking at.
We considered coming to the board in November. I'm sorry, the meeting in the first week of December. We concluded that would be supposed to allow more time for dialogue. Very frankly, our concern was that that was so close to the election that, in all fairness, there was not enough time to adjust and to assess by the contractor at that time what they might recommend. So therefore, we thought it was most fair to them to give them the additional 5 or 6 weeks to gear up. In any case, we respect the firm, but we do not believe that we've achieved the results that we'd hoped to. And with that, I'll just conclude the response. Thank you.
But
okay.
I'm sorry, you waited till that's 5 months into the contract. You ought to send up a trial balloon once in a while. That's all.
You got to say, Director Antonovich.
Understand. My concern is that we have not been kept abreast of deficiencies that may have been in the relationship between the Manat firm and the MTA. So not being in a position where we have information that they have failed to deliver, we don't have a fair evaluation of their services. There's been no communication except the communication now we're going to end the option and have a process to find someone new. To me, is there's a lack of information and a lack of integrity in this process. There's no clear direction as to what our replacement plan for the federal advocacy would be. We don't have any idea what the cost, what the budget would be for that. And the clear nexus between the organization of the MTA resources and our federal strategy to show in this board that we're going to be much more effective in Washington, D.C. is lacking. I mean, we just had a decision about an hour ago where we're going to bring before this body cost overruns to deal with issues on some of these rail contracts. Well, here we've had 6 months and none of this issue brought before this body that there has been a failure. We have not had Manat here to testify their relationship with us and have a fair assessment as to what the criticism has been. And extending this option, I think, is much more productive to extend the options for 2 to 3 months and have them here to answer to shortcomings that may have occurred. But we are taking everything on a leap of faith And we don't have the documentation to make such a rash, in my opinion, judgment. Time when this board should be engaged, and there are issues that are very important in Washington, but we need to have a two-way conversation and not just take action on a proposal that's before this body without that background information or having them here to explain why they failed to deliver, if they failed to deliver.
You know, I concur that staff could have done a better job in terms of keeping all the board members informed of what the status was of this effort. I know some of us sit on the EMAC and maybe hear some of this in terms of the frequent updates. At the same time, this contract is a lot of money. Congress has been significantly recast since November in terms of the, particularly the House. So I actually am supportive of the staff recommendation, acknowledging the comments that have been stated here. I think it is an opportunity to go ahead and rebalance our lineup to reflect the changes in Congress as we try and move this program forward.
Okay. All right. The item, then, the recommendation, yes.
I don't have a problem either with accepting the recommendation, but I do have a concern about the process.
Because there was none, and I'm not I don't serve on that committee, so I don't know, and so this has been in the last 5 years a real problem, yeah, as to who is our advocate, what is, and you know, and I guess you know the team is whoever some people want, and I really think we need to have a team, and it. I thought we used to have real consensus before, but it's been a real contentious issue for a long time around here. And I think that this board needs to really figure out exactly what it wants from this advocacy team and how it's going to be
used. Move your face away from the mic.
Anybody can trust. I mean, I don't think that they were going to get a rubber stamp either of, oh, you know, so what? We'll just roll over and we'll get it. I think it's the warning that this isn't automatic by any means, and I think that's a fair thing to tell them, because some of these advocates and some of these groups just hang on, and basically when you go out there, all their thing is to pick you up at the airport and then show you where the congressional office is and really don't do much work in between. And that's not just for this contract. I've done many other contracts, including those with the county, that you have people that are paid and they aren't really doing the kind of diligence on an ongoing basis that really they're there for. They're not there for just the day the board member arrives to be shown around. They're there to be doing the ongoing advocacy and be reporting it back to basically give us the pulse of what's going on in Congress, what's going on in the hearings, to let us know. And I don't feel that that has been going on. So, Art, it isn't just this advocacy firm, but it's the whole arm of advocacy work, whether it be in Sacramento or in Washington, D.C. So my biggest concern, I would support Mike Conner's amendment because it's such an important process, and I'm not so sure what's moving it as yet. Then what do we do? It's on. So, but I am concerned about the fact that we, that there really is no evaluation that is done other than they're my friends or I like them, and but is it, what are the outcomes, what are they producing? And I don't even know if we have good job descriptions of what they're supposed to do. I think they themselves have good job descriptions for themselves, but it's maybe not the expectation that we want, that of what are the things they're supposed to be producing and what is it they need to do. Even informing some of us, mm-hmm, is that we need to get up there and start making, you know, visits, phone calls, things of that sort. So again, I know I found that during the red line that it was very troublesome that I wasn't getting the kind of reports that I needed, that there were some feelings and sentiments up there about you know, the East Side Line at the time, and I didn't get that kind of warning from my advocates. And of course, this is a long time ago, but I am concerned about the abruptness of this and just canning it with, I don't know what you're putting in place. Do you know what you're putting in place, Art?
I'd be pleased to answer. We have three other firms under contract, Kadish and Associates, the C2 Group, Cliff Madison Government Solutions. I would...
So you say the others are adequate enough?
No, you're just a moment ahead of me. Rafi and I have been looking over what our... what our objectives would be in Washington, what our assets are, the other assets, and what we might do to strengthen them in specific areas. We have some thoughts on that. We'd be discussing with the board later on. You know, we believe that that this contract is expensive, and we're therefore not recommending it. I respect the board's prerogatives about continuing the contract. We certainly work with Manette, Phelps, and Phillips. We do believe that we are best served by finding which resources we need surgically against what specific objectives we would have in Washington rather than an umbrella. So to that degree, this recommendation doesn't reflect on Manette, but we'd be pleased to sit down with you and go over what those detailed resources would be.
Obviously, this one's not getting to go where the others are, is what you're
sort of saying. The other contracts are not before the board right now. The only one before the board is Manette.
That's not fair. Will it be the same process for the others?
Yes, I would. We expect results from our contractors. We expect focus.
I expect results from our contractors, too, but I don't know. Because this is one area, Art, that hasn't had that kind of measure. It just is a political measure around here. And I, too, would like to have an expectation. That's why I'm saying in this one, it's not a process I was familiar with. It just, like, you know, end it. And which I, again, if they're not doing their job, I'm hardly interested in paying anyone $50,000 a month to sit on their hands and not carry out work. But at the same time, are the others doing it and this one, or is this one doing it? I guess I don't know what the process was. So I don't necessarily want to accept Mike Antonovich's amendment if they're not doing anything. And I don't know that they need the $51,000, but at the same time, I am concerned. And I don't know what it can do, but I know that this is a political football. Every time it comes up, it's never ending, and it's a problem. So, I mean, I don't know what you can recommend as an interim since there was no process.
You could recommend almost like you did in the elevator thing, a month to month, and come back and let them respond.
I'll move the staff recommendation just to get a motion out.
Move it for amendment 2 months, but have them at the next meeting respond to the evaluation and have an evaluation shared by the board so we all have information as to specifics and not a form of, I think, political favoritism because, as Supervisor Molina adroitly stated, are you applying this to all of our contracts or are being very selective with this one? And then let us know what that information was ahead of time, and we would like to hear the other side respond. I know at the AQMD, when we do our councils in Washington, we have direct dialogue with the board members as to their shortcomings or how well they're doing on a regular basis. But here there's been an absence of communication, and communication is the key to us making a very important decision. And you can't just have it all in your head and not share it with the other directors. So having a two-month extension and having this information shared with us will allow us to be on the same page to move this district forward with better representation.
I'm sorry?
Okay. Supervisor Antonovich made a motion to extend the contract. Is that a motion?
An amendment to give them a two-month extension of that option, but have a report at the next meeting from Manette, but also a report from our director or CEO relative to the evaluation that they have judged the Manette firm, their service, and along with what is the vision and our representation in Washington, so we know what the agenda is.
With the exception of the vision and the representation and the expectations, I think that the other parts of evaluation have to go into closed session. Don't you?
Mr. Chair, Director, there are inherently subjective and sensitive components in this discussion which are important. This is not all objective. Whether or not, Mr. Safer, that would make the grade for a closed session or not.
I don't know that it is.
Well, ultimately, the contractor would report to the board. So we would, you know, try to use the personnel type.
We want to refer this item to closed session then?
I'm sorry?
Do we want to refer this item to closed?
I guess it's the evaluation component.
I think it would be fair if we can get it there.
The expectation should be across the board for everyone.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Mr. Katz?
I guess, you know, what I'm concerned about, you know, you have Chairman Mica talking about trying to mark up a reauthorization bill by March. You have Chairperson Boxer on the Senate side talking on the same time frame. And I don't know that if we have somebody that we put on a month-to-month and an evaluation, how much progress we're going to make at solving our issues. I think back, maybe I didn't get the email, but if anyone around here has seen a strategic plan from our, you know, from the firm in terms of how we were going to approach DC, I'd appreciate them sharing it with me. But in 6 months, I haven't seen that. I don't know if anybody else has seen that. I haven't seen.
We used to see it a couple of years ago.
Yeah, no. I agree with you on that.
We haven't been seeing it lately.
But I certainly know that for $50,000 a month, we're not seeing it. Yeah. And I worry about that. You know, I just worry about our being positioned so that we're active. We need Chairman Mica and Chairperson Boxer to be successful. And we need to have the tools to go talk to them to get them to be successful. And if this team isn't the right team, we need a team that'll do it. But I worry about sort of going around at another, you know, $50,000 a month for 1 month here, 1 month there. Mike, I understand where you're trying to go. I don't know what they're going to say that we haven't seen in the last 6 months. I guess that's my concern.
Well, I would like to have them report to us so we have some information to judge them on. But right now, there's a lack of information.
I was under the impression, I may be wrong, and my memory ain't what it used to be, obviously, but I was under the impression that we had seen something that had come through in a board report about 3 or 4 weeks ago about that had listed that was a and I thought that that had gone around to the board members. Now, you know, I'm trying to remember where I saw it, but I thought it was one of our documents. But Patricia, Paul, I'm sorry? It was sent out to the board. Can we get a copy of that, please?
Okay. To be specific, we invited them, that is the firm, to submit a report to the board, which they did do and which was distributed by the secretary's office about 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Director Weezer.
Thank you. First, I have a process question because we are proactively not exercising an option. When we write our contracts, isn't it the other way around? We have to proactively extend an option, not to do a negative. Why is this one written differently?
I'm sorry, forgive me.
This one is we're voting not to extend an option. And typically, we have to proactively vote to extend an option. We're doing the reverse here. So is there some reason why this contract was written differently?
No, forgive me. In order to have the exercise of the option, that requires board approval. I am not recommending that the board take that step. But if you choose not to accept the staff recommendation, which is within your purview, you would then vote to extend the option.
Well, the report says permit the federal advocacy cartridge for Manath Nelson Phillips to expire on January 31, 2011.
So we're recommending against such a vote, but okay. If you want to affirm the exercise of the option, that would be your direction to staff.
Okay, I got it. The other thing, too, is if we extend 2 months and we're saying they're not doing anything, I'm not quite sure what those 2 months will get us. I mean, we're kind of uneasy, unsure about what they're doing. You know, we're going to say, okay, well, go ahead for another 2 months of this uneasiness. I'm just wondering, what's that going to get us? Should we just cut our losses now, get that information we need, and move forward as quickly as possible? Yeah. I'm not quite sure those 2 months are going to get us much more than we're not sure what they're doing, period. Let's just get rid of them and move forward, move on.
Okay. Supervisor Antonovich, or Director Antonovich made a motion. There wasn't a second to it that I picked up.
To give 2 months,
in the contract, 2 months.
Evaluation, have a presentation at the next board meeting on the evaluation, and it could be up to 2 months. It doesn't have to be up to 2 months. But so we have a discussion and then know what our strategies are. It seems as if maybe one or two people know a strategy, but this is a whole team. And to win our goals, we need to have everybody participating. And we ought to have all the facts before us. And I would like to hear from the accused as to, did they not do what they did, or did they do a better job than was being stated what they had done? I don't know. But I know there's a lot of activity that's taking place in Washington now with the new committees and the policies that are going to be forthcoming. And I'd rather have people there when these ideas are being discussed and moving forward than after they've been set.
I'll second.
Call for the question.
Well, you need a second before that.
Got it.
Second?
Got it.
Okay. All right. A motion by Director Antonovich, seconded by Supervisor Yaroslavsky. Director Yaroslavsky is to extend the contract 60 days with a report back at the next meeting on why the reaction. I understand. Okay. I got a substitute motion here. Why or why not, the contract extender, let them respond accordingly to any of the issues that the staff has worked with them on, I guess. So,
Mr. Chair,
yes.
I make a suggestion. I think it's fine to talk about what the objectives are and what the evaluation may have been. However, in February, when this discussion occurs, should the board pass this, perhaps of more interest would be to have the firm report to the board as to what its tactics and objectives and strategies would be in the event the board should exercise a longer option.
Single.
Or what they spend their money on for the last 6 months?
That would be fine.
Yeah, I mean, Charles, what about the issue of a closed session on this particular item?
I would like the opportunity to look into that and report back to the board. This is a contract, and typically contracts, are not the type of matter that would go into closed session. The justification that we're talking about is a personnel type action, equating the consultants to somebody, a personnel that reports directly to the board.
Okay. All right. The substitute motion at this point is different from the chair, then we're going to vote on the substitute. We have two members of the public signed up, Ann Kerr Patel and Arnold Sachs.
I apologize, but I understand why the board might not want the public to participate in interactive discussions, because then we might realize we are subscribing to a corrupt, incompetent system, right? Lobbying is institutionalized corruption. We the people, the theory goes, we the people are not capable of voicing our viewpoints and our ideas and our own best interests. That's why we have the Bus Riders Union. They are our lobbyists, slightly less effective than the $50,000 lobbyists that you guys employ. Mm-hmm. Slightly, right? They don't even give you reports. At least they're here. They're showing up. Now, the truth is the truth, right? And the question comes into play, what does the board actually do? You guys don't actually tell the bus drivers where to go. You guys don't actually design the transportation infrastructure. You guys don't actually count the pennies and the dollars. I thought it would, right? That's an important question for us to ponder. What do we subscribe to? What is this process? And I'm very much against lobbying altogether.
And Mr. Sachs?
Yeah.
Thank you again, Arnold Sachs. I really find it interesting that you're concerned about a two-way conversation between the information the board gets and the contractors you deal with. Yet the two-way conversation between what the public request and what the board delivers, that street doesn't exist. I agree with you, though, Supervisor Molina. It is a political football. And you know what ends up happening with this political football? The public always gets kicked in the ass. A lot of problems in 5 years. Results from the contractors. You expect results from the contractors. Amazingly, the people that come to this meeting and go to the city council meetings, go to other meetings, they actually sometimes respect results from the leadership. And if the results that we've gotten through the period of time that you've been doing this transportation program, we're still in a lot of trouble.
All right, so the substitute motion to extend the contract up to 60 days to report back on tactics, objectives, and strategies in the event the board exercises the long-term options and the opportunity for Manette Phelps, I guess, to respond. Is that correct? Gloria. Is this locked or open?
Is this for the amendment?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And pass.
No, it doesn't pass.
It doesn't pass. Okay, so.
So we're back to John. You move the staff report, right, John?
I move the staff report.
Okay. And that item is before us, the staff recommendation, clear the field.
I'm sorry? What, unless you adopt the staff report, you're there.
Right.
Okay, so what's up now?
This is staff recommendation.
I'll move a substitute for 30 days. Or a new motion.
Now go, 30 days.
It's as plain as can be.
It is as plain. I'll move 30-day extension.
What is about it that you don't see yet?
The motion fails. So we're back with the item before us.
I second the motion.
Okay, Mr. Katz?
Yeah, just one point of clarification, and I think Patricia's passing them out now, that they're circulated to the board on January 5th was a response from Manette on, it's coming around, but just so people, this is what we were talking about, my memory's not as bad as some people would allege, at least not in this case.
But it was sent on January 6th after convening the Congress. And I never saw this.
Yeah.
So we can either go with 30 days or we can go with Supervisor Antonovich's original motion for back up to 60 days.
I guess I just wonder, I mean, see, we have a response here from Manette as to, you know, what's been going on. Yeah, no, it's a public document. It was sent to the entire board in the world on the 6th. So, but yeah, it's a public document, right? Yeah. Anyhow, so that information is out. I don't know what we get more in 60 days, but that's.
Well, the Fasana's recommendation is to do the 30-day extension with a report back and response. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, and there's a second. Have you seconded the 30 days, okay? Clear the field and we'll vote.
I do remember this.
So this is the 30-day extension?
30.
And we can vote.
Can you clear this, please?
There we go.
Okay, thank you.
Charles.
Oh, no.
So the information will come back before the full board or before our committees, right?
We would plan on taking this to the executive committee and absent alternative direction.
Okay.
We have a legislative committee.
EMAC. It'll come to EMAC and then to the full board. Okay. All right. So ordered. Okay. All right.
And let me make an apology. I did see this, so I do apologize.
I did not. Item 27, approve Richard Burnett to fill the unexpired position held by Harley Rubenstein.
Move approval.
Here, I'll second that. Arla Sachs. Good. Thank you. Without objection, so ordered. Also, we need to approve item one, the minutes. Moved by Cass, second chair, second without objection, so ordered. All right, let me have public comments, please. Barbara Lott Holland, Eric Roman.
Good afternoon, board. My name is Barbara Lott Holland, co-chair of the Bus Riders Union. By shortlining buses at the exposition line, MTA is forcing bus riders to add more time and cost to their trip. Hello. A trip that originally took a bus rider one fare will now take them a bus, a train, and a bus again, a total of $6, which would originally cost $1.50. The $250 million cost overrun of the exposition light rail could save 30 of the bus lines that are now proposed to be cut. We at the Bus Riders Union are urging the MTA staff to reconsider all of the proposed cuts. Thank you.
Thank you. Eric?
Eric Roman from the Bus Riders Union. Just to follow up, there's been no discussion in any committee, so just want to make sure that every board member is aware that the staff is currently proposing a bus service cuts proposal that's likely larger than the one that was just passed last year, which was almost 400,000 hours. If you approve this, you will have cut away 75% of all the service that you introduce under the consent decree. You're consciously walking back into the civil rights crisis that you created 15 years ago. Some of you were here to remember that. Ms. Molina, you might remember, in 5 years ago when the consent decree ended, you on behalf of this board, on behalf of this agency, publicly promised, and we can quote you, and I can quote you if you'd like, not to turn back the clock, to maintain the progress that the agency had made. And this is, and now you're doing precisely the opposite of that. So you want to talk about broken promises, that's broken promises. Moving to another issue quickly, Supervisor Yaroslavsky, we warned you in December. You opened the Pandora's box by conceding to Condo Canyon. Now, as you know, the city is considering cutting the bus-only lane project on Wilshire Boulevard in half. We asked this board to stand up and protect the project that you voted on and deliver the project in its full form. Thank you.
Sun Yang Yang.
All the rest of the members of the Bus Riders Union had to leave.
Okay. Joanna Gasper is gone. Michelle Lopez is gone. Antonio Lopez. Antonio, you're here. I saw you. Need an interpreter, please.
Yes, I need it. Good morning. Good.
We will get an interpreter. Hang loose there, Antonio. You sit down there and we'll call you back.
All right. I do it.
Got one.
Yes.
We have to descend from the heaven of the cabin.
Usted está admitiendo lo que yo estoy diciendo. Buenos días, soy Antonio López, un activista de Bus Riders Union. Lo que están diciendo de muchos recortes, pero ustedes saben que de los recortes a lo mejor están engañando a la tienda.
I cannot translate. No puedo traducir si usted no interrumpe y me deje que le traduzca. Si no, la gente no entiende español.
Si necesitas, you need a school, go to the school.
I need to pause so I can put it in English.
You need to translation, you go to the school.
Adelante. Go ahead.
Buenos días, soy un activista de Bus Riders Union.
An activist of the Bus Riders Union.
Ustedes están diciendo de muchos recortes a la gente, muchos están tratando de decir de recortar, pero cuando están recortando,
when you do these cuts,
están ustedes no están sabiendo y saben más que todo, pero más que todo están robando a la gente. Cuando van a la gasolina, allí nos están robando. Eso es injusto.
We're being robbed. That's unfair.
Tema ese, tema
uno. One subject.
Tema número dos.
Subject two.
Quedamos de que con el estado de que el estado le va a otorgar licencias.
The state will grant licenses.
Certificado de nacimiento. No
or birth certificates.
De dónde sea o de dónde hubiera sido. Ese es el primer paso que estamos
that's
que le vamos a dar
step.
Y espero que Jerry Brown viera.
And I hope Jerry Brown.
El medio de que yo le comuniqué para
would
que
have accepted my proposal.
Y con eso él triunfó.
And with that we will achieve victory.
Okay, tercer tema.
Third topic.
Cuando metieron una balacera en Phoenix, Arizona.
When there was a shootout in Phoenix, Arizona.
La congresista.
And the congresswoman was hurt.
El día 8 de enero.
On January 8th.
Estaba John McCain.
Where was John McCain?
En Cartagena, Colombia.
He was in Cartagena, Colombia.
El día 8.
That was in the morning of the 8th. What was he doing in Cartagena, Colombia?
Haciendo negociaciones, sí, pero de droga.
Was he doing negotiations to buy drugs? What was he doing?
Eso es todo lo que está haciendo Jan McCain. Y luego
is that what John McCain is doing?
Algo así en contra de nuestros estudiantes.
Going against our students
aquí.
So that they cannot obtain ID.
Y la inteligencia de ellos.
We need these young people and their smarts. Thank you very much. God bless you. All of you.
I guess. So is Jose still here? Mr. Patel is next.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Jose Rodriguez. I'm also with the Bus Rider Union, but also a Cal State LA student. I really am against the cuts, but we will discuss that this Tuesday. I hope you guys can provide us with more than a minute, at least 3 minutes to discuss every route. So if it's time, you know, take it in consideration that because there's a lot of routes that I'm not agree, but we will discuss that this Tuesday. And one of the things I want to say, hopefully this year MTA can do a better job. Try and do a better job, you know, hire better bus drivers. I have an issue last Monday, and I don't know if this is interesting to you, on the Silver Line 910 with a driver with the badge 23966. He refused me on the bus. And he told me he will not run the bus if I don't get off the bus. That's discrimination. You know, and if I talk to a lawyer, I probably can sue the MTA. And I don't really want to do that just because one idiot of the driver just decided maybe to do that things. It's ridiculous. Thank Focus you. Who you hire, please. Have a nice day. Thank you.
Mr. We'll have someone talk to you.
Did you file a complaint
with us
yet?
I did. Tuesday, the next day.
I
did, yes, to customer relations. But I hope some action can take termination to this guy.
Mr. Roberts.
Thank you for your concern. Have a nice day.
Anchor Patel, followed by Ken Wong.
Uncle Patel from Chatsworth. I did take public transportation here. I don't remember. A little while ago, we had a UCLA day with local government. I had an opportunity to sit down with Supervisor Antonovich, but I took the bus from Chatsworth to Westwood for about 18 months, public transportation. Right now, I'm getting an interdisciplinary degree from CSUN, geography, urban planning, and mathematics. There are a lot of applications of mathematics that are not used in public transportation. I'm looking for statistics. I would like numbers of how many bus drivers and how many hours, miles per gallon, all those types of statistics that I would need to build into my thesis project. Could I get some help in getting some of those numbers? Which district or which bus depots have this bus routes?
There's a position
division.
When you're done, please speak with Mr. Roberts in the back, and he'll put you in touch with the appropriate person.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, Ken Wong. Oh, that's all. Ken, you still here? Followed by Malcolm Klugman.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. I'm Ken Wong. I am the I'm with the Asian American Architects and Engineers, representing the AAAE at Metro's Transportation Business Advisory Council. I just want to come up here to thank Metro for and the DEOD for its past and current support of AAAE's outreach and education programs in transportation. In November 2010, especially, Doug Failing, Linda Wright, and staff of DEOD provided invaluable support for our organization's outreach networking reception for Transportation Design Build Primes. The event was a great success. We were able to attract seven major design build primes who met with some 70 small minority women and disadvantaged sub-consultants. And Doug made himself available to speak to all in attendance. We look forward to continuing our relationship with Metro and bringing Measure R opportunities to the community. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for taking the time. Malcolm, followed by Dr. Clive Williams.
First of all, if you need a lobbyist now, Jack Abramoff's out of jail now. Okay. I want to talk about last month, because what happened was we sold out the people who live at Wilshire and Normandy in favor of the people who live at Wilshire and Beverly Glen. The people at Wilshire and Normandy take the bus. The people at Beverly Glen wouldn't be caught dead taking the bus. Their friends would think they were homeless if they were standing at a bus station. And the other thing is, if you take the bus at rush hour from Wilshire and Normandy heading to Westwood, you're going to have to stand. Everybody who rides the bus knows it's going to be crowded, the 720. So you can at least make it faster and make it smoother and not kowtow to these people who have the political clout to do a survey and everything. You think if that survey would have said this was a good idea, the HOV lane, that we'd ever heard about it, they would have thrown it in a shredder. You've got to support transit people. That's your job.
Dr. Clyde Williams, followed by John Walsh.
Dr. Clyde Williams, El Sereno. Last month, we had an issue that arose that it seems that the San Gabriel Valley gets a lot of interest from the California High Speed Rail Authority. They held a lot of workshops last year, and one problem for the San Diego line, the Ontario line, it didn't include the city of Los Angeles. Although outreach people say that they have contacted the city officials of Los Angeles, but they don't give us any information regarding what was discussed. There were no workshops in Boyle Heights, Lincoln Heights, El Sereno. Aren't we part of this system? I don't know. It seems that we're not. We're not allowed to have a meeting in our area until after the board meeting, or after the authority meeting next month. So what's going to go on? I don't know. But Alhambra City seems to know what's going on. Thank you.
Mr. Walsh, followed by Arnold Sachs.
Okay, you registered the mayor as voting. He wasn't here in the room for item 24. He stumbled into the room, he sat down, he said nothing, he left in 25 minutes, and he collects, what is it, $500 per diem that you get for coming to these meetings? You don't get a dime at the committees. LACTC didn't get anything. You get about $500. He's fallen asleep at the meetings before. So that's what's
Mr.
happening.
Walsh,
right
address,
now.
Please. No personal attacks.
That's not personal. That is not personal.
Okay.
I didn't talk about his mother or his father or anybody. I'm talking about he came in here and he said nothing, and he gets $500. And as far as Chairman Mike and we're talking to people, let me tell you what his aide told me. He said, you have a better chance of building a subway to the moon than you do out of getting money out of Chairman Micah. That's what one of his top aides has told me. And I've said nothing personal.
Thank you. Just to correct you, I just had a meeting with Chairman Micah as well as his top staff person, and those words were not uttered. Thank you. Mr. Sachs?
Not to you.
Oh, okay.
Son, not to me.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Arnold Sachs. One of the disturbing facts that came out of this meeting was the numerous times that we heard from the board members, at least three different times, about not receiving information or not knowing what was carried on in a committee meeting. I understand that you have time constraints on what you can do during a day, but you need to be responsible also to know what's going on, because your decisions affect the public's ability to travel. And for you not to know what was going on in committees or not getting paperwork or not any of the above, that's unacceptable. 511, when's the next bus due? Well, if you're calling 511, you're waiting for a bus already. When is the bus showing up? Not when is the... If I have a schedule, I can check when the buses are leaving. I need to know when the damn bus is coming to my stop.
On item 19, is Mr. Najarian back? Is he back, do you think? If he is, we can do. But otherwise, on 19, we're going to have to be able to do 19B. We cannot do 19A due to conflict. So on 19B, is there a motion to approve?
Second.
Moving seconded. And without objection, 19B is approved. 19A will have to wait due to conflicts, I guess. Is that correct? Okay. With that, then, that was the final public comment speaker. We will go to closed session. I would ask my colleagues to make sure that you make every attempt to stay. We have a couple issues that are up against the wall on time. Thank you. Thank you all for attending.
The MTA board met in closed session on item CS2, conference with legal counsel pending litigation, Gaddy v. MTA, case number CV0902343, and related cases. The board approved a settlement recommendation, the terms of which will be made available after signed by the parties. The board took no further action on any other items, no reportable action on any other items. Thank you. That concludes my report.